Hello, my name's David Stretton and I'm the Methodist minister for churches in Arnside, Storth, Milnthorpe and Levens in the Kendal Circuit. Welcome to worship for Sunday the 28th of June 2020. Our hymns today are Lord of the Dance and then Love Divine. And this is our third of 3 weeks thinking about the Beatitudes. Let's pray. Loving God, to be alive this day, this is your gift to me. To breathe and stretch and yawn, this is your life in me. To step into this day with you at my side, Lord, this is your faith in me. Your presence fills the universe. Yet you choose to lodge here within me. You are beyond my wildest imaginings, yet you are closer than my own breath. I know you in the smile of the stranger, in the tear of a child, yet you are as elusive as the wave on the shore. God of mystery and delight, God of tenderness and longing, nurture your life in me, that I may be free in you. Amen. The American corporation Apple, the one that makes the iPhones and iPads and computers, ran a very successful advertising campaign in the late 1990s and early 2000s under the slogan "Think Different." It was all based on the premise that throughout history, people who have thought differently have achieved great things. They used Albert Einstein as one of their examples. So, if you buy an Apple product, then it will enable you to think different, and then you'll be successful. But really, in my view, it was all a bit of a con, because how different were their products anyway? I mean, Apple and the great rival Samsung have a long history of suing each other for copying each other's products. And these days, if you were really going to think different, then you'd throw your smartphone away. Jesus, on the other hand, is the real deal. He really is different. In a world of wealth and war, he says, "Blessed are the poor and the peacemakers." You can't get much more different than that. The Beatitudes are a list of 8 statements at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. This is important stuff. The disciples follow Jesus up a hill by the side of Lake Galilee, and then he sits down and teaches them. The sitting down part is important. In the Jewish tradition, when the rabbi sits down to teach, then this is not just a few off-the-cuff remarks, but teaching that's meant to be taken to heart. And this is nothing like the 10 commandments. Jesus doesn't undo those commandments, but he does move things on enormously. Have a listen. I'm reading from Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." For over 2,000 years, those few short lines have given millions, billions of people cause to think. And not just think, but think different. And not just think different, but live different. It's all so topsy-turvy. It reminds me of Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when he declares for a life that chooses the foolishness of God over the wisdom of the world. So what's going on here? What's the message for how we should live? First, these are statements, and they're about the present, not the past or the future. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the peacemakers, those who mourn, and so on. Jesus declares that the kingdom of God is here, now. This isn't some aspirational prophecy, some vague hope. Jesus declares a blessing on all these people. People who we would often consider cursed rather than blessed. He declares that God is at work in their lives, in their situations. But then there is a pointer to the future, when things will be even better. So this formula of blessed are, in the present, and then something will happen in the future. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will see God. So, first, they're statements of something that is and something that will be. Second, they're all about values. They value things and people that are generally overlooked. They invite us to pause and think different and then live different. Think for a moment about early on in the coronavirus lockdown, and for those of us who were allowed out once a day for exercise. Firstly, I went up on Side Knot more times in 3 weeks than I'd been up it in the previous 3 years. Funny, isn't it? Something that I was never interested in suddenly became strictly rationed, and so I wanted it. But more than that, when I bumped into people I knew, although not literally, then I didn't want to just nod and grunt a hello and move quickly on. No, I wanted to stop and chat. To see other people in real life suddenly became such a joy. I became very aware of things that I valued very highly, but had taken for granted. This valuing only happened because of the unprecedented times. It took a great big shock to make me see things afresh. It's 2,000 years since Jesus declared those Beatitudes, so the shock factor has worn off. But read them carefully and take them to heart. If you love God, then the way to show that is to love the things that God loves, that God blesses. And here is the list of those things. So here we have firstly statements of what is and what will be. Secondly, a revelation about what God values. And thirdly, something that is not prescriptive, is actually quite fuzzy, unlike the Ten Commandments, something that demands a mature response. If I use the coronavirus again as an example, at the beginning, when it was all new and we were inexperienced, then the instructions were clear and very direct. Stay at home, protect the NHS, save lives. It was all black and white. Now the rules have evolved as we've grown accustomed to living differently. No longer is every situation prescribed for. Instead, there are general principles. We are invited to use our common sense. The Beatitudes demand a certain level of maturity. Now, I'm going to go off at a tangent, well, actually two tangents, just for a minute or two. Tangent one is a poem by the American poet Mary Oliver. It's called Today, and it's from her book, A Thousand Mornings. I've put the words on the website so you can have a read later, and for those listening to this on a CD, then a little printout is in the CD wallet. It's always a dangerous thing to interpret a poem for other people. Really, I should leave it to you to take from it what you wish. So just let me say, for me, this poem is a challenge to make and then take the opportunity not to conform. Think different, live different. In this instance, to take a day off and do nothing. Except that when you do nothing, things happen. Let me read it to you. It's only short. Today I'm flying low and I'm not saying a word. I'm letting all the voodoos of ambition sleep. The world goes on as it must, the bees in the gardening rumbling a little, the fish leaping, the gnats getting eaten, and so forth. But I'm taking the day off, quiet as a feather. I hardly move, though really I'm travelling a terrific distance. Stillness, one of the doors into the temple. Tangent number two. This is just something that I challenge myself with from time to time. It's all about default positions or attitudes. So here's a list of them. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Does it matter? What's the default position, light or dark? In general, are we mostly blessed or mostly cursed? Is my attitude to life about taking risks or playing safe? Is my glass half empty or half full? And what does all this mean for my life, my living, as a Christian? Okay, so just trying to draw all this together. The Beatitudes are important. The Beatitudes are actually a great blessing for us and for the whole world. The Beatitudes demand maturity. The Beatitudes are unexpected, shocking even. And finally, the Beatitudes challenge us to think different and then live different. And in doing so, to achieve great things in partnership with God. Amen. Our prayers of intercession. Let's take a few moments now to call to mind those people who are especially in need at this time. The sick, the lonely, the bereaved. Those caught up in conflict and war. Those without enough food. Those struggling to make ends meet. Let's pray for God's blessing on all these people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Joy of heaven to earth come down.
Here's our blessing for this week. May God give us, for every storm a rainbow, for every tear a smile, for every care a promise, a blessing in every trial, for every problem a faithful friend to share, for every sigh a sweet song, and an answer for each prayer. Amen.